How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Figure Four Daily. It's Tuesday, April 20th, 2010, here at figure4online.com/wrestlingobserver.com. Joined today by Sugar Dunkerton here on the program, talking the Chikara King of Trios show, which is coming up this weekend. A number of other subjects as well. And Sugar, how you doing today?
I'm doing very well. I'm glad to be off the bench for a minute, right in the middle of the game. And just want to say this is really an awesome experience. I'm very happy to be here. Well, let's get cracking. I mean, what you want to talk about?
I was actually on you've got a blog now, the Half Court Lounge, it's called. It's at WordPress.com, sugardunkerton.wordpress.com. And I noticed you were at the FIP show this weekend, and that was like your first chance to work down there. How'd that go?
I mean, it went very well. I mean, I was in a wild card six-way, actually, to decide who would have been in the Southern Stampede. I came up short. I was right there at the finish with Caleb Conley, but he pulled the trigger before I could. But as far as it went, I mean, the reception was very well. I really enjoyed the atmosphere down there in Florida, and I'm really seeing why it's a hotbed right now, especially. And, I've been kind of waiting a long time to actually get a shot at something like this and, you know, just to finally get a chance to be with FIP and then being, you know, invited back in the future. I'm just very excited about that. It's just a lot of great things coming together for me right now.
How did that booking get set up?
Well, I mean, I've visited the shows many a time. You know, I would just ride down actually with Sal Renaro, very unsung, I believe, independent guy. I mean, he's one of those guys, you know, he's kind of everybody's favorite wrestler, you know, but it's just like, you know, he's just not out there as much as I think he could be. But, Sal Renaro, I used to go down there with him to the shows just to, you know, hang in the back and just see what was going on for a while. And, you know, I just kept in touch with the booking committee and whatnot. And when they decided they were going to have this kind of reset for FIP, I mean, I let them know I wanted to be in the game, put me in, you know. And that wild card opportunity came up. We had a chance to do it. And by all accounts, everything seems to be okay on both sides, and I expect to be back. Unfortunately, the next show they have in June 26th is also a Chikara show, and I can't say unfortunately because, you know, I love working Chikara. But after that, I believe since we're all in something of an alliance here with the FIP, Dragon Gate USA, Evolve, you know, thing where they're all kind of helping each other out, they're going to make sure that they're not all booking around those times. So that way I'll be able to do both without a problem.
What did you think of the Jon Moxley, Roderick Strong title change?
Jeez, I mean, I definitely was not expecting that. I remember meeting Jon Moxley way back when, probably about like a year and a half ago at the IWA trial shows where I was actually one of the seven people that actually succeeded on the first trial show. And then I ended up seeing him at the show, at the subsequent shows that followed, the double shot that month, that next month. Really enjoying stuff with Sami Callihan, and I mean, I just thought he was a really solid guy. I mean, I saw his matches. I really didn't get to see he was a really solid guy, but it was like, you know, these months later, you know, definitely where, you know, he's cutting these crazy wild man promos and just the work. And I mean, he's really carving a niche for himself. And I think the FIP title is going to be a great way to just jumpstart him. I mean, I'm all for it. I love new faces, new blood. And I mean, I think he's something different. He's fresh.
What is it like putting together one of those big six-way? I know they've called them frays. I know there's a lot of different terms for them.
I like to call it the Spot Fest Royale.
The Spot Fest Royale. Exactly. I mean, you're going in there, and you know, this is your first time in FIP, and obviously you want to show what you can do. And in a sense, I mean, if you're a guy that does a lot of high spots, it's obviously a great place to do that, but it almost seems like, number one, it would be just hell to put together. And number two, in some ways, you would almost get lost in the shuffle there with all these other guys.
Well, I like to think, you know, first and foremost, I mean, as far as, like, you know, people noticing me in there, I mean, you know, 6 foot, huge afro, very colorful gear, long socks, Chuck Taylors. I think I kind of stand out in the crowd
sure.
as it comes out to it, so I really don't worry about that too much. But, you know, I do definitely get what you're saying. I mean, there's a lot going on. There's a lot of people. And you're trying to, you know, you're trying to give them the best of you without giving them too much, without giving them too little in a match where it's designed to, you know, just everybody's out for everybody at the moment. And I mean, to be perfectly honest, once we knew the expectations of what was wanted, I mean, we went out there and I mean, I think we put together something really good for the time we had. And I mean, I believe my opposition, Ronnie the Red, Johnny Vandal, Craig Classic, Caleb Conley, and Stigma from Chikara. I mean, I couldn't have asked for better people to work with. We just went out there and we tore it down real quick for the time that we had. And I mean, you mentioned, hotspot guys as far as everything goes. I mean, for my size and everything, I'm just not a very flippy guy. That's just not what I do.
Sure.
And I believe, huge advice I'd give anybody. If you just don't have it like that, either you're going to have to work like crazy to get it like that, or just use something that you do have. You know, don't be a power wrestler if you're 135. Because, you know, it's just not going to work out unless there's somebody 120. And Lord willing, I hope you're in the gym to lift 120. So, I mean, you know, I've got good leverage, I've got good speed, personality. So a lot of the stuff that I think I like to base my stuff around isn't going to be so much the top rope stuff and, you know, just the uber complicated stuff. I think, you know, people, they want that entertainment factor. They want good wrestling with entertainment. I mean, Colt Cabana is a great example of that. And I've had the opportunity actually to pick his brain recently and hopefully pick his brain again. And he's actually a huge inspiration to me because he mixes the entertainment and the comedy aspects with just seamless wrestling so well. And I hope to be able to be at that echelon, at that caliber, hopefully, while you know, making my own lane, you know?
I was actually just watching Colt on the ROH show this past Monday night, and I saw him live down in Phoenix when they had the two ROH shows down there for WrestleMania. And he had a match with the American Wolves. They did a tag team match, and Davey Richards obviously is not going to do a lot of goofiness and such in his matches. He's got that serious gimmick, I'm going to go out there and kill you. And Colt went out there, and for like the first 5 minutes of this match, he was doing all comedy. And I was like, God, this match is just not going to work. And then at about the 5 minute mark, it turned into a wrestling match, and my God, he was good. And
oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was the same thing. You always think about his comedy, but he did a promo on the TV show this past Monday night, and it was just like a serious old school promo about how they're going to kick the ass of their opponents, and it was great.
And I mean, that's something like when you're balancing that fine line of comedy, and this is the beauty sometimes of just doing comedy and being entertaining. People are so used to seeing you smile and jump around and hop and be all bright that sometimes it takes a level of serious. It when you get serious, it takes it to that next level because they're so not used to you. They're not used to seeing it.
Sure.
Like a good example of that, in my opinion, you know, if you watch Steve Austin before, you know, he shaved the head and he became Stone Cold Steve Austin, I mean, you would know that he's a very good technical wrestler. Anybody would know that. He could put together a match very well. But I remember watching a Raw way back when where he had a match with Ric Flair. Ric Flair said he wanted a straight wrestling match with Steve Austin. And you could tell who was, you know, who turned in around the Attitude Era and, you know, who was watching WCW back in the day when this guy was, you know, with the Hollywood Blondes and, you know, he was carrying a United States title. Because, you know, the people who jumped in around the Attitude Era think, oh, my God, Stone Cold won't know a wristlock from a wristwatch. How is he going to do it? And the beauty was just watching their reaction when he's going hole for hole with Ric Flair when, you know, it wasn't even 10 years ago when, you know, he was doing, you know, wristlocks and chaining and all this good stuff like that. I mean, it's great just to be able to bust something out on somebody that, you know, they're just not aware of. I like to think a lot of my appearances so far are mostly entertainment-based or whatnot, but I really think when, especially in companies like Chikara, FIP, when it comes around, when they give me that opportunity to really showcase, like, what I can do ring-wise, I think they're going to be very pleasantly surprised. They're going to see there's just more to the, you know, the jive talking and the, you know, just antics, you know?
Did you break in with Chikara?
What was that?
Did you break in with Chikara, or when did you, who did you train with when you first started out?
Oh, that's a story. Okay, I guess I'm trying to keep it as abridged as possible, but I started off in Augusta, Georgia, and you know I'm not even going to mention the names of the guys that I trained with because, to be perfectly honest, they're guys that never really made it anywhere. And they gave it an idea like they made it somewhere. And for the time, it was the best training that I had. you know, and I started off in Augusta, and I trained with them, and I've just pretty much worked the circuit for a while where it was just, you know, you're working shows, but you're not really learning anything. You're not bettering your craft. These are guys that are just like, you know, I'm the weekend wrestler. You know, I'm not putting in the time during the week. I'm not trying to get anywhere with it. I just want to wrestle to say I wrestled. And I wanted more than that. I just had a passion for that. But, you know, it was that same toil for about 4 or 5 years. And then eventually I ended up getting to a place known as UCCW in, I believe, Lyons, Georgia. And I went there weekly and I met a guy named David Reigns. And he was just one of those wrestlers. He wasn't really, you know, family guy, wasn't really interested in making it too big or anything like that. He just liked to wrestle, and he was very good at it. And he would watch some of my matches at the time, and this is after years of just changing gimmicks, not really getting it in the ring, people telling me I've got the tools, but I just can't put it together in matches, and I just never could figure out why. And he actually was one of the first guys 5 years later to not just tell me that I sucked, but to really sit me down and, like, tell me, okay, your match sucked, and this is why. And we would do this every week, and then I saw improvement. The quality of my booking started to get better. And then there was just one thing missing. People were telling me that the wrestling was getting better, but, you know, I just didn't have that hook. Like, you know, you've got personality, stuff is coming together, but, you know, what's going to be that hook? And this would lead into how I got my gimmick. Murder One. I don't know if you know him. He used to be a half a blackout with Rain Man. Corey Chavis, as you may know him now. Dark City Fight Club, you aware?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Murder is a really, really great mind. Really great mind for the business. Very underrated wrestler. I've noticed I throw around underrated a lot because they're just guys that people should know. And, you know, sometimes we sing a lot about other people, but, you know, I really want to make sure to give credit where credit is due. I mean, we used to do a lot of road trips together, and he just threw it at me one day. He was like, look, you know, you've got to build like a basketball player. You know, you got the fro, you got the swag for it. I don't see why you don't try and do a basketball gimmick. And at the time, I'm thinking, oh, my God, he's trying to take my career. And then I think about it, and I'm like, I don't have a career, really. You know, I haven't done anything. I'm not anybody. So I just said, you know what, let's just go ahead and give it a shot. So I'm in there, I buy the long socks, I get the chucks and everything, and I get a debut with GCW, Great Championship Wrestling, in Phoenix City, Alabama. And most of that did squashes there, but what I was noticing was just, you know, I took the care and the research in my gimmick. You know, I watched Semi-Pro, Fish That Saves Philadelphia. I watched a lot of just basketball tapes. You know, I'm a big fan of basketball myself, and I stuck mostly to the ABA because, you know, as cool as the NBA is, ABA had all the crazy characters, you know. They had the wild outfits. They were just doing a lot of cool stuff. They were the rock stars, sure. You know, and I wanted to be like that. And then as far as wrestling-wise, I just watched guys like, you know, the Coco Beware's and the JYD's, you know. I even went and dug up some Thunderbolt Patterson, and I absolutely love his stuff, man. Like, Thunderbolt is just, well, he was just way ahead of his time. He was too cool for school, man. Jerry Curl, but no Jerry Curl, you know. So I went ahead and I just started implementing those things and just really paying attention and listening and just letting people just get in my head, you know, and let me know what was going on. And before you know it, I mean, people just started taking to it. Like, you know, even in squashes, they were just really feeling me, you know, and you know you're doing something right when, you know, it's a squash and people still want to see you. They still want to see you come back out there and do your thing. And later on, while I was working there, I would end up going to work for Alternative Pro Wrestling, which I still wrestle to this day. It's booked by, he recently left Anarchy, but great talent, great mind, just great mentor of mine, really good friend, Jeremy Vane. He's done everything up and down in the NWA Anarchy building and Wild, back when he used to be Wild Side too. And he's the booker of Alternative Pro Wrestling. He really gave me a shot to fine-tune and help with my psychology and things of that nature. And before you know it, I mean, I was complete. I felt like I was complete. There was still more to, of course, there's still more to do. There's still more to learn. But it's like, I think I could actually work at this level that I've been trying to get at all this time. And it's because I've been getting such great advice. So, you know, I just trying to make some inquiries. I put some stuff out, and eventually the timing was just right, you know. And Mike Quackenbush told me about a gimmick with a baseball player he had called Dasher Hatfield, and the rest is history. You know, I sent him in, and he got it to get a look, and I'm with Chikara. And it's a dream because I was a huge fan of Chikara before I had a chance to work with him. So, you know, this is like going from, you know, being a fan of the band to, like, being in the band, you know?
Yeah, as well as asking if you'd gone through the school there, because, I mean, the gimmick, the Sugar Dunkerton, is like, I mean, that's tailor-made for Chikara. It's like something they would have come up with on their own, because, I mean, it's, you know, tons of... They had a baseball player, for crying out loud, so it's...
I mean, when you can say that a baseball player is not even the tip of the iceberg of the gimmicks, that's how you know how crazy Chikara is, but love it. And, no, I actually never trained at the school. Like I said, like, my first time meeting Quack and a lot of the roster was, like, my debut date. And, that really made me apprehensive at a time because, you know, it was just, you know, I'm a Southern boy. You know, I'm from Georgia. I don't know all those arm drags. You know, it's
sure.
Like, I know the Tommy Rich arm drag and the Steamboat arm drag. You know, I can't do all that stuff, you know, or I'd gladly learn. But I felt a little bit more at ease when, you know, Quack was really good about easing me into the situation. And I got to say, they have a class act. Up and down roster. Like, I absolutely love those guys. They're like extended family. I didn't feel like I was out of place for a moment. And I wish I could say the same for some locker rooms, you know, back home. You know, I hated that I had to go sometimes 10 hours just to be able to feel at home in a locker room, you know, that wasn't APW. But, you know, Quack told me something, and I try to stick with it as best as I can. He told me, listen, part of the reason why you're here and part of the reason why you're going to work is because you don't do a lot of the things that everybody else does. It's like, you know, like we have enough guys that can do the crazy arm drags and the reversals and whatnot. Just do what you do. And I thought about it, and I'm like, yeah, I think I can do that. And so far, I think everything is coming along pretty well, I hope. And I just hope I grow as an overall entertainer and worker, just, you know, dealing with new styles and, you know, working with new people, you know?
Yeah, now, when you, going back very quickly, when you first got sat down and were told, that match sucked, and this is why. I mean, you know, some people would hear that and just go, huh, well, fine, asshole. But it sounds to me that, like, you wanted to learn so badly that, as strange as this might sound, it kind of sounds like you were actually happy that someone sat you down and told you this.
Well, you spent 5 years trying to do stuff and, you know, sending demos in hopes of getting stuff and trying to get to bigger companies than where you're at because you're realizing you're not really anywhere. And, you know, granted, I didn't always have the best attitude. For somebody would tell me something, and it's like, you know, what do you know anyway? You know,
sure.
And it got to a point where it's like, you know, what more can you do? You're just wrestling for the sake of wrestling now, and you're not even wrestling on a regular basis. You're just doing it like once or twice a month, you know? And it got to a point where I would have killed for anybody to really tell me what it is that I'm missing that really knew what they were talking about to get me to that next point. And, you know, people either didn't have the time or, you know, just didn't want to deal with me. And like I said, it took going to Lyons, Georgia, just some, you know, hole-in-the-wall company for somebody to really sit me down, David, which I thank him forever, you know, for everything. Between Murder, Jeremy, and David Reigns, I mean, you know, I don't know where I'd be. And I got to add Quack to the list now because he's doing so much for me. But, you know, I don't know where I'd be because he really sat me down. And he's like, you know, I come to the back and he's sitting in this little lawn chair and just give me this look and he just shake his head. And he's like, you thought that was a good match, didn't you? And, you know, I just, after a while, I'd just sit down and be like, okay, what did I screw up? And, you know, he'd let me know. And, you know, I would work hard to improve it. And really, I mean, when you think about it, some of the best weren't just the best. They had to have somebody sit them down. They had to improve. They had to get there. And, I mean, if I really wanted this, if I really wanted more than just being, you know, the crap show worker, it takes a level of humility being humble, respect for people who are trying to give you advice, taking good advice when you can get it. And a lot of guys are just missing that, you know, just, you know, they want to pass us the torch. The vets want to pass the young guys the torch in the worst way possible. But if we're not taking the steps to take it and run with it, then we're not being a credit to the business. And I love this business, and I want to be as much of a credit to it as I possibly can.
Now, what kind of advice was it that he gave you? Was it more like, okay, you shouldn't have done this high spot here, and you should have done this before your comeback, or was it stuff like, you know, you should never do that move again because it just doesn't look good?
A lot of it was just psychology-based, and why would you do that?
Yeah.
Like, you know, like, and they both go hand in hand. It's like, you know, even taking this crap, you know, you like, okay, you know, let's just go ahead and be real. You've been getting your ass beat for like 20 minutes in a match, and, you know, you're right there, you do a move, and you're right there as your partner. Why would you keep going for more moves when you can just tag your partner?
Yes.
You know, like, just little things that you're not thinking about because you think you got to throw a bunch of moves out there to get over when you're not thinking about the context and the story of what this match is about. Like, you know, be logical. I was fortunate enough to be able to attend a Les Thatcher seminar, and it really helped. Like, it really helped because he stressed a lot of the logic in pro wrestling. It's like, you know, what can you, I mean, if you think about it like if you think about it like a sport, and to me it is a sport, why would you do some of the things that you do? And then it really just started making sense to me, a lot of it. It's just like, you know, the tag situation. Or, you know, why would a babyface throw a closed fist punch at, you know, a heel that he has no animosity towards, who has done nothing to him? A fist is like a real sign of aggression. You know, wait for him to cheat first, then do something. It was just little stuff like that, and it made so much sense. And then I just started implementing, and then my matches started making more sense, and people started noticing. And it was just a great feeling to go from, God, you messed up this, that, to, well, you just messed up that. And the only reason why I'm saying that is because I would have did that different. But other than that, it was okay. And I never expect anybody to tell me I have a perfect match. Success to me is, you know, knowing that there were as few screw-ups as possible.
Sure.
You know, there's always something that you can do.
I can't remember who said it, but I listened to an interview from somebody, and their basic statement was, you're just never going to have a perfect match, so you may as well just accept now that something's always going to happen in your matches.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, there's plenty of things that could go wrong, plenty of scenarios, whether it be the guy across from you know, the crowd. There's a million things that can just affect the quality of that match happening, but the only factor that you can really control at the end of the day is you.
Yeah.
So, you know, how you react to it, how you try and put it together when everything goes on. I mean, all you can really do is just work that match. Like, just be in the moment. And that's all I ever care about at that moment. You know, I've got so many other things going on, but when I'm there and I'm in the ring, I get between those ropes, you know, come out that curtain, I got all this stuff on. That's all I care about, and that's all I think about. And, you know, I could be somewhere not living my dream, or I could be in there doing my best to take my dream to new heights that I never thought before. So why not just be in the moment? I don't want to think about anything else, and even if it starts to fall apart a little, at least it's falling apart a little in my dream, you know?
Now, you quickly glossed over the idea that you had other gimmicks prior to this, and so now I must ask... What were some of these gimmicks that failed?
Oh, my God. Like, I don't know. I had it was such a misguided, like, mindset for some of the gimmicks that I had. Like, I tried a black Shaolin monk martial artist gimmick at one point. That was, like, my first gimmick.
Huh.
Like Gino the Shaolin Thug. I still get ribbed about that, like, to this day, you know, by people, because it was the absurdity to give. It was so stupid. And I used to take myself so seriously doing it. Like, here was the thing. If I played it up for full comedy, Last Dragon, you know, I probably would have got away with it.
Sure.
But I wanted to be extra serious at 145 pounds with no gear and a karate gi, and was expecting, like, you know, bookings to just come rolling in. I'll be in the TNA Ace Division in no time.
Sure.
And, you know, it was terrible. It was so bad. You know, when I think about it, and I see those pictures, you know, and I'm just happy to be able to come above that. And for people who remember that, it's like, oh, my God, like, I can't believe you're even the same guy. You know, you used to suck, you know. And then there was a, how many gimmicks did I have? You know, there was Captain Crunk.
That's
know,
a good one.
That was just bad. You know, like there was Black Mask, which was basically like some black karate pants and like a mask while I was trying to transition to a better gimmick. God, that sucked. You know, and then eventually I just settled on, screw it, I'll just be me.
Sure.
And, you know, I went by the name of Jamar Acid for a while. But, you know, that was just me with no real gimmick. People just knew I had a personality and could wrestle finally. It's just, you know, there was no presentation. There was no packaging to it. You know, like, it's just some guy. And, you know, I think that's a big problem with a lot of guys right now. They're just some guy that can wrestle. And there's plenty of some guys that can wrestle, but, you know, how are you setting yourself apart and making yourself different, you know?
Now, I do note that of the three gimmicks that you mentioned, two involved karate.
Yeah.
Did you take a little karate as a youth, or what was it about karate that attracted you?
I'm actually a red belt in Taekwondo, and I studied, like, kind of unofficially. I just learned some things in Wushu. But the thing about it at the end of the day was, you know, and it was a bad climate for trying to do a martial arts gimmick anyway, because if you think about it, everybody's doing the strong style, kicking, throwing kicks around. Ong Bok came out, so everybody wants to throw knees and elbow strikes and all this other stuff like that. And I remember sitting in the car with Murray when we were seriously discussing this gimmick about making this work. And he was like, the first thing you're going to have to do, you have to kill the kicks, man. Like, you just can't do them. It's like, what basketball player kicks? You know, and I was just dying, you know. I was like, no way. Like, this will never work if I can't do such and such kick and such and such kick. Maybe I could just say I'm like Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, you know, and I got a martial arts background while I'm balling, you know. And it's like, he was just adamant, like, to the point where he wanted to cuss me out almost, like, it's not going to work. So you got to think about what's it going to take to make the gimmick work. I had to completely dumb down everything that I did. And fortunately, I did, because my striking as a whole got better. There's not many people on the indie circuit and some people on TV that can throw good punches. And, you know, my punches improved, you know, forearm striking, et cetera, et cetera. And I just had to completely reinvent myself to, you know, make this whole thing work. And it was one of the best things that could ever happen to me. Like, everybody throws back kicks and enziguris and all this other stuff, like the scissor kicks. But, you know, you'd be surprised how many people could just appreciate, like, a good punch.
Sure.
A good punch. You know, because they never see enough of them, you know. And I like the fact, you know, I'm trying to uphold that standard. I don't think I'm going to be to the Necro Butcher standard of throwing a punch. But we'll see what happens.
Did you ever see, I know it's up on YouTube, but when Humor Tornado did the deal where he jumped up and he grabbed the basketball rim and then swung around into a Hurricane Rana?
Yeah, yes, I did. And, you know, people talked about that, and it's like, now I can't even do it because Tornado did it. I get a lot of comparisons, you know, and obviously, it's going to come up. And, you know, I take a lot of ribs about, you know, Human Tornado. Matter of fact, when I first showed up at IWA for the trial show, Ian Rotten, the first thing he said to me was, oh, Human Tornado, you know good and well you don't have to try out. And I just had to have a good little laugh about it. But, I mean, I was hugely into the stuff that Human Tornado did. I mean, his whole skit was just fresh, you know, because I was a big fan of Dolemite and blaxploitation flicks of that style, you know, and he just completely dove into the gimmick and it worked, you know. And, like, you know, some people make the comparisons, but I think, you know, his gimmick exists in its realm, my gimmick exists in its realm, and we're both kind of carving our own path. He's got a little bit more going on than me. I'm trying to get like him, you know, hopefully beyond that. But, you know, I would love to see a scenario where, you know, like, you know, the battle of personalities can square off, or even
team
if
up.
The world is ready for the charisma explosion that would be, you know, the human ducking squad.
That's
you
right.
know, just like in all seriousness, like Tornado and Duckerton, I think we could probably tear the roof off, you know.
Well, I hope it works out because he's currently retired at this point, unfortunately.
I hear different things on that. Like they say he's retired, but then I think they said something like he worked a match, like a little bit, like 2 or 3 weeks later.
Well,
maybe
yeah,
like
I think
a month later.
Yeah, I think what happened was the story I heard was that he owed ROH a couple of matches for I guess some shows that he didn't make, and so after he retired, yeah. He ended up doing the two shows in Phoenix, but everyone that weekend told me he was still done, so I don't know either, really, but I think he's done for the time being.
Hopefully he'll pull a Terry Funk and he'll come out real quick, you know what I'm saying, come out and play. Hopefully we can make that happen. It would still be something cool to have him, but if not, I mean, he definitely doesn't have anything to be ashamed of, because, I mean, he's done a hell of a lot, you know, and I think he should be really proud of what he's accomplished.
Let's talk a little bit about the shows this weekend. It's Friday and Saturday night, ECW Arena in Philadelphia, of course. There's a Saturday, Friday and Saturday night, and then Sunday afternoon. So three straight days, and of course your team, Sugar Dunkerton, will be teaming with Dasher Hatfield, the baseball player, and everybody's favorite wrestler, Matt Classic. And they're going to be, I guess, first round you're facing Fist, who won last year, is that correct?
Yes, they are the defending champions this year.
Oh, boy. That's quite a way to go into it.
Yeah, you know, sometimes you don't draw out too lucky, but at the same time, I think people seem to forget the fact that, you know, me and Dasher specifically have faced the duo of Chuck and Icarus. And it's not like we don't hold two pinfall victories over them. Now all we're doing is just adding, you know, extra flavor into the mix with Akuma and Matt Classic. But I think it'll tear the roof off, you know. I mean, I seriously think that, because I think we've had good encounters in the past. You know, I'm more amped than ever. Dasher is constantly, you know, growing steam as far as it goes. And, I mean, who doesn't love Matt Classic? He invented wrestling. Look it up on Wikipedia, I promise you, he'll have the patent.
True.
And, I mean, every member of Fist, no matter what you want to say about him, every member of Fist is just, you know, they're supremely talented. And, I mean, I enjoy their stuff. They just happen to be across the ring from us, and, you know, we just going to have to lay it down. That's how it goes.
You got a couple of...
Go home.
Yeah, there are a couple of interesting teams here, actually. Curry Man is returning to Chikara. And he's teaming up with Los Ice Creams.
Yes, I'm very excited about that trio. As a matter of fact, like, it went from great disappointment to, like, oh, wow, that's cool, too. Because, actually, I'm a huge fan of Cassandro's work ever since I saw him at the Ted Petty Invitational. And I just think the whole gimmick is just fresh, you know, and the wrestling is so good. Like, you know, it's so unique. You know, you're not going to see anything like that, you know, especially at our level. And it's just wow, you know. And I just wanted to see it live. But unfortunately, the Ring of Honor situation happened.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was like, I don't know who they'd really be able to find, like, to replace something like that. And then, you know, Chikara's good for that. If something comes up missing, they'll make the makeup as good, if not better. And, you know, we got Curry, man. I love Curry, man. And I was talking on another radio interview that, you know, if the opportunity ever came up, me and him have to bust a move, you know, because me and the Masters already had to do that dancing deal, and, you know, the funk hit the fan. He already know my pedigree. So, you know, if Curry, man, want to bring the disco, you know, I could bust a little bit of the B-boy, you know, get everything going, get it popping. I mean, you know, we'll let the fans decide. You know what I'm saying? I would love that.
Hey, you guys, you could both make round two and square off against each other and have the dancing contest. It is a possibility.
You just don't know how excited I would be if I was across the ring from Curry, man. Like in all seriousness, working with him, against him, I'm very huge on that character. You know, I'm a big character guy, especially characters that can work. So, as far as it all goes, I mean, I can only hope. that it gets that far, and I think they'd be in for a treat if it ever came down to that. It'd be a, as I like to call it, a charisma explosion.
That's right. And you know what? He better get past the first round, because I should look at his opponents. Oriental, Alabrije, and Kuihe, who actually, if I recall correctly, is a midget, in fact.
Yes, or if you know, if you don't want to be so hard on the turn, that's such a strong word. You can say vertically challenged.
A mini.
You know. And as far as it goes, I mean, this is exactly what I love about the trios. And, you know, it's what made me a huge fan of Chikara in the first place. I mean, name another indie, name, you know, a bigger company for that matter, that's just giving you a wide range of performers like what you're about to see. You know, from all these different countries, and they're just all coming together, different shapes, different sizes, you know, genders in some cases. And they're just, you know, they're coming down there, and we just, you know, you get to celebrate all the differences, you know, and just watch it all come together. And, I mean, there's a lot of companies that are just big on hype, you know, talking trash. And I wouldn't know a lot about talking trash because that's, you know, that's my side job. You know what I'm saying? I got to file a tax form I'm looking for, like an I-90, just for trash talk, because that's how much time I put into it. But, like, you know, there are a lot of companies that'll hype stuff up. And when Chikara says they're having, like, one of the biggest tournaments that you'll ever see, I mean, I dare you to find one bigger. Literally, in terms of just talent involved and, you know, just international representation, you know, plus, you know, man's, like, bodies. You know, that's a lot of people, a lot of six-man teams, you know?
Yeah, you've got, there's Team Big Japan, Team Osaka Pro, you got two teams from Mexico. You've got, actually, I hope Claudio shows up, because apparently he's still stuck in Europe right now because of the volcano.
Yes, I heard about that. That's really unfortunate for just anybody that's over there. But, yeah, I mean, you know, love him or hate him as far as everything goes. I mean, I think we're missing some of that flavor if he's not there. You know, I mean, he's a staple. And despite all the stuff that he's got going on right now in regards with the BDK and everything, I mean, he needs to be there because, you know, that he needs to get beat. So, you know, I would hope he shows up. Yes.
Now, before we wrap it up here, looking at the lineup and just all of the guys that work for Chikara, you mentioned wanting to have the dance off, obviously, with Curry Man. But who are some of the guys on the card, either Saturday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, or pretty much whenever that, man, you'd just love to have a match with them?
Okay. If I had to name just four people that I would kill to have a match with in Chikara, and we'll just say it's a singles match, you know, for talking sake.
Sure.
You know, I'd love to take on Brody Lee, and I'd love to take on Tersus just to get two out of the way. Because, I mean, you know, you're in there with a bigger dude, the story tells itself.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's like there's nothing to talk about. As soon as the bell rings, you see what's going on right there. And, you know, I think a lot of times I'm at my best when, you know, I'm trying to slay that giant or I'm trying to figure out how I can, you know, work something out with tools I don't have. And in that case, it's, you know, power, you know, size, et cetera, et cetera. And I think people are just drawn in by the fact that, you know, especially in situations like that, you're doing amazing things with odds stacked against you. You know, I that's my life. That's what I would kill to do. Another person I would really love to work one-on-one, actually, be my own partner, Dasher. And that's not like a Marty Jannetty, Shawn Michaels thing. I just really would like to test myself against him because he's constantly getting better, and watching him do what he does, it only pushes me to get better. You know, like, because I'm seeing things that he does, and we're bouncing stuff back and forth off of each other, and I think we're growing as performers individually as well as, you know, a top-notch tag team. And I would kill to just, you know, be able to just work in one time, you know, just to see what we can come up with, you know, and just to see who will come out in that.
And it's an easy storyline with the basketball against the baseball.
Oh, yeah, definitely. But, I mean, you know, round ball is always going to win on that one. I'm sorry. You know what I'm saying? There's no bat here. You know, we're not doing all that. He's getting denied at every turn. So that's how it's going. And then I suppose, actually, for my last match, that if I could pick somebody, in all honesty, it would be Icarus. Icarus is one of those guys to me, like, you know, there's so many people in this business where it's cool to hate them. And it's just nice to see somebody that just draws that level of just venom, you know, from the Chikara crowd. Like, yeah. They just hate him so much. And then on top of that, he's just so talented. And, you know, I would just kill to get in the ring with him in a non-tag situation and just have it out. You know what I'm saying? I'd love to go for it. Because I think you'd see a lot out of that match, because he can do a lot of things. And like I said, when I get the chance to show people what I'm about, I can do a lot of things too. And we'll see what ends up coming out of that.
You know, you mentioned the easy story of a small guy and a bigger guy, but I would think that if you're a good babyface and you're in there with an awesome heel, that's got to be just the easiest.
This is true, but at the same time, you know, as a performer, sometimes you just got to make stuff come out of thin air.
Sure.
It's developing something, and, you know, that's always cool, too, when, you know, people don't think there's something that you can create as a story there, and you're able to just make it, you know, and they see it, and, you know, they're with it, and they're just there that whole time until, you know, both of you walk through that curtain. That's that kind of attachment that you want, you know, and I think it's missing in a lot of places, because it's like, you know, people are just having matches, and where's the attachment? You know, where's that sense of I care if this guy wins, or, you know, I want this guy to lose so bad.
Yeah.
You know, and I think Chikara's just so great at that, for just being able to just invoke these reactions out of people just with good booking and characters and, you know, all that good stuff like that. It's just, it's great. And I was watching it from a fan perspective, like I said, and now being able to just enjoy that from the perspective that I've got. I mean, you know, you've seen your share of matches where it's the work is good, but where's the investment? You know, where's the want? Like, you know, I still watch Eddie Guerrero and Brock Lesnar to this day.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and I, you know, I'm wanting for Eddie. I've seen this match a million times. I know how it's going to end. But, you know, I'm wanting for Eddie. I'm wanting him to pull it out. And when he gets it, you know, it's just, it's great. I still get chills watching it, you know. And, not to keep this out of the loop, night two. And this is actually going to be, I believe, from 2 to 4 o'clock, the Fan Conclave. This is like our big meet-and-greet event, you know what I'm saying? It's like the way WrestleMania has access.
Sure.
You know, since this is our WrestleMania, why wouldn't we have something to that effect? Fan Conclave is just, it's going to be on and popping. If you are a Chikara fan, you need to have yourself there. You need to bring a good time with you. This is what you need to be doing, okay? Because if you're a Chikara member, just show your cards, you get in for free. If you are not a Chikara member, you pay $10, but I guarantee you it will be $10 well spent. As you know with Chikara, you put money into Chikara, you know, you're just not making a bad investment, because they're very fan-friendly. They're fan-centric. Like, everything we do is kind of in that way for the fans. And it's like, you know, I'm actually going to be DJing. You know, I'm going to be on the ones and twos, you know, putting it together, you know.
Really?
Everybody having a good time. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I got to get down. you know, man of many talents, you know, not just basketball in the ring. And then, you know, they're going to have board games. We're going to have pictures. You know, the stars are going to be out. And, you know, like I said, this is a great opportunity to just be able to get up close and personal with just some of the best that your car has got to offer. And, I mean, we're just taking it to that level so that you could just be right there in it. So if you could be at the ECW Arena 2 to 4, every Fan Conclave that they've ever had, you know, it's gotten rave reviews. And I just don't want anybody being that person who missed the fun bus. You know, you could have been on this. And, you know, when we're not talking about how awesome the show is, they're going to be talking about how awesome the Conclave is. And you don't want to be that guy that missed out. You know, you don't want to be the guy that got the last word on what was going on, or like, oh, wow, that sounded really awesome. And then you're sitting there, you know, twiddling your thumbs. Don't be a twiddler. That's not good. You know, twiddling is good. Twiddling, no. No, let's not do that. Let's not do that.
Badly underutilized you are by this company, I can tell you right now. Should be paying you thousands of dollars for this promotion you're giving them right here.
Well, I mean, you know, I'm a baller. You know what I'm saying? Endorsements are what come with it. You know what I'm saying? I'm sure I'll probably see some residuals from it. We'll see. We'll see. And I don't know really how much time we have, but there's really two more things I would like to bring up if I've got that time. You
Go
know,
for
I don't
it.
Want to just stretch too much.
Go
you know?
For it.
And well, first and foremost, like, again, humbly happy to be a part of this show. The first thing I'd like to bring up, if anything, and this is just, you know, I'm not saying I've had a ton of experience or anything, but I'm kind of like a young old man, you know. I've done a lot. for, and I'm amazed at a lot of the stuff that I'm done, and I'm thankful for a lot of it. And, you know, there's just a level of humility and humbleness that you just have to have as you're, you know, going through these road travels and you're getting this advice and doing these things. Don't forget who you are, and don't forget, you know, just to stay grounded with all of it. But the best advice that I could give anybody, you know, trying to come up, trying to get these things done, you know, because there's still people kind of amazed at just a lot of the stuff that I'm doing. I'm amazed at it, too. But the best thing that I could tell you from my experiences, anybody, whether you're working in Georgia, California, any of that, you need to find that hook that makes you you. Everybody can't be outlandish. That's fine. Everybody can't be strong style. Everybody can't be a high flyer. But, you know, it's good that you're watching the tapes. It's good that, you know, you're studying what other people are doing. Never try to be the next somebody. Try and be your first. Try and be just carve your own lane. That's so important because, you know, there's a million people who are copycatting, you know, Davey Richards. There's a million people copycatting whatever the next big indie move is. You remember where, like, I think it's still going on, where, like, the Backcracker is, like, the most overused indie finish. So overused that they had to move it to the chest. And then that got overused, you know? And it's one of those things where if people wanted to book that, they'd get the people that originated that. You know, that why would they need you?
Sure.
And it's one of those things where, especially coming up there, like, you know, it was a different atmosphere coming from down south to up north. Because down south, they're watching PWG tapes, they're watching Shakara tapes, they're watching all this stuff. And they're just copycatting all this stuff that everybody is doing. And then they want to send demo tapes out and, you know, send emails and say, hey, you know, book me, you know, put me on, when they've got people that do this stuff. You know, they don't need a cheap imitation of that. They need something fresh. They need something new, you know. And just get better at your craft. Find what works good for you. And, you know, you've got to sell yourself and market yourself. There's got to be a reason why they can't book anybody else other than you. You've got to be that guy that they want to book. You know, Austin Aries is booked because his execution and just dead-on personality for a lot of stuff. Like, you know, he can sell the match better than anybody sometimes. That's why he's booked. You know, guys like Delirious. Delirious is just so unique. You know, he can wrestle as a heel or as a face. He's just a very compelling character that people can just get into or whatnot. You know, I can't think of anybody like Delirious. And that's what you got to be like. Don't be somebody that's already out there. Be your own you. That's the best thing I can tell you. And I guess the only other thing that I would probably have to bring up at this point is as far as training grounds go and really owning your craft, I just really want to give a shout-out to Alternative Pro Wrestling. Alternative Pro Wrestling is one of those companies that's near and dear to my heart because, you know, I've been very consistent in working with them, you know, pretty much every Friday. You know, unless it's Chikara or unless it's a booking that I just can't say no to. I turn down bookings on Friday just to be there at Royston, Georgia. And the work that Jeremy Vane is doing with those people in there, I mean, it's just great. You know, they've got great talent that nobody's really heard of yet that are just, you know, busting ass, trying to get better, trying to get to the next level. And, I mean, if you need any proof of that, I mean, I'm right here. You know, and I like to think that people, when they talk about me, they think I'm a very humble person, that I listen, that I'm attentive, that I try and give 100%. And that's the kind of stuff that's being instilled in that locker room along with great psychology, putting matches together, things of that nature. And, I mean, if you get a chance to check them out, myspace.com/alternativeprowrestling, their show, APW Aftershock, you can catch it on youtube.com/alternativepro. They're even on hybrident.tv now. And this is just a great example of just a company that's trying to build people into being, you know, credits to the business. There's always going to be workers, but, you know, credits to the business. Guys who want to make their opponent look as good as they look, things of that nature, that's the place that's teaching it. If you really get a chance to see it, if you're in the area to go to the shows, it's what you need to be checking out. Because that's just... it's beautiful right there when you're able to say that there's a company really trying to make people credit to the business and make this business just, you know, worth the shit again, you know? That's just the way to say it.
So myspace.com/alternativeprowrestling And that's the place to go for that. And, of course, your site is up at sugardunkerton.wordpress.com. And I you've actually got a YouTube video up there of one of your matches from back in the day at Alternative Pro Wrestling. That's right. It's Kareem Abdul-Jabbar versus Danny Only. You can check that one out at sugardunkerton.wordpress.com. And, of course, this weekend, it is the King of Trios Tournament for Chikara Friday and Saturday night at ECW Arena Sunday afternoon. There's also the Fan Fest from 2 to 4 on Saturday. And you'll be teaming up with Dasher Hatfield and Matt Classic in the first round. And, of course, for more information, ChikaraPro.com is the place to go. And, Sugar, thanks again for doing the show today. Really appreciate it.
I really appreciate it with you. And I guess in closing, I just want to say for anybody that's ever really given a crap about me, giving me advice, tweeting me back, you know, just wishing me well, just wishing me, you know, wishing me healthy to just keep going. I appreciate you. I love you so much. I mean, Mom, I love you. Amanda, I love you. And I just hope that, you know, I'll be able to climb to just bigger things than what I've got going right now. Like, every day is a blessing. Hopefully one day, the ultimate goal is to have that spot that Funaki is holding, or D-Ray 3000 used to have, or the Shark Boy spot. I just want to be somebody's comedy opening jobber.
I'm perfectly okay
with that.
I'd go with Funaki if I were you, because he's still around, and I have no idea what happened to D-Ray 3000. So
this is understandable. I just really, if I can even get to that height, you know, I say it's all worth it. But even with what I got right now, I mean, it's not just my energy. It's a whole bunch of energy flowing through me, and I just appreciate anybody really giving a damn about me to that point. So I love y'all. I mean, I love the experience that we got here, and I thank you so much, Brian, for having me on.
Well, best of luck this weekend, and thanks again, and best of luck with everything you do, and hopefully we'll have you back on here very soon. And thanks, everybody, for listening. We'll talk to you again after a while.
King of Trios, be there.